I want to continue with the thought, the theme that I believe God has spoken to me for us for this season. Excuse me, but not just for us. And that's conquering fear. Can you say conquering fear? Conquering fear. As I've been looking and reading different things, different posts and different writings and different messages, right now there is a message in the body of Christ. There is a theme right now concerning faith over fear. There are messages being taught right now that speak to living free from fear. And so I thank God, because a lot of times when I'm hearing something, I'm wanting to just be obedient to what I hear him saying. And then when I begin to hear it in other parts of the body of Christ, then I know that God is blessing us to stay connected to what he's doing in his body, not just as a house, but in the body of Christ. And so I want to share just a little bit, and then I want us to pray. I want to give opportunity to pray for you, because I believe this is a rhema word for all of us. Conquering fear. How many would be honest enough to say every now and then, I know that I'm dealing with anxieties? How many know that those anxieties can turn into fear? And then before you know it, you're not walking in victory. You're living a life that's very different than what God's intended. Save, love God, love the Lord, going to heaven, but really not living a victorious life. I believe one of the things that the Lord is helping this house, and maybe even others as well, to begin to understand and to begin to unpack is the revelation of the origin of fear, and that there is a difference when we talk about when Paul talked about a spirit of fear, when he said that to Timothy and what that meant, and how you and I really do have authority over fear. I said this, and Pastor Jamal reiterated in his message as well, and that is over and over and over in the scriptures, you'll see that it says, do not fear. Do not fear. Just that very statement says you got options. When the angel came to Mary, he said, do not fear. When the angel came to Zechariah, he said, do not fear. Now, what he's identifying and speaking to is the internal reaction to an external stimuli. An internal reaction to something, now in the realm of the spirit, now talking about the angel showing up to Mary, the angel showing up to Zechariah. I believe even if you look at the birth of Christ, when all those angels showed up, it's like, fear not. We bring you good news. Because what's happening there is that which is spiritual is now invading time and space, showing up in the natural. And there is absolutely not one case in the scriptures where that happens and somebody wasn't afraid. It has to do with an internal response to an external stimuli that's happening. So we see it over and over and over in the scriptures. And I believe that in this season, Holy Spirit wants to help you and I to conquer fear and to live in victory. Fearless confidence. I like that statement. Fearless confidence. Fearless confidence. Very often we're not confident because we're second guessing, or we are trying to work through the fear of failure, the fear of the what if. It can be the fear of people and what they say. And we can look at those passages of scripture. Remember with Saul, when Samuel was sent to Saul, it was because Saul messed up. How did Saul mess up? Saul messed up because God had given instructions for him to totally annihilate, be done with the Amalekites. The reason being is the Amalekites were the first nation to come against God's people when they came out of Egypt. It's amazing because God marks time. Do you understand that? He doesn't forget anything. He doesn't forget. He marks time. And when it came time to judge them, judge that matter, basically, he gave Saul the privilege of doing that. But the scripture says that when Samuel came to Saul, Saul was struggling with something. And what he was struggling with was internally fear of the people. Because when Saul came to him and said, you were supposed to kill all of them, including the animals. And Saul was acting like, well, I was obedient, but I held on to just a few things. And he made this statement, because I feared the voice of the people. The reason why it's important for us to be able to identify really where we live is because often it will affect, not often, it will impact how you live your life and how you walk out your faith. The truth be known, all of us at some point in our lives, and maybe even still now, deal with how we think people see us, how we think people will see us based on the decisions we make, the actions that we take. I want you to recognize that God recognizes and identifies in us where we are. And I believe that's one of the reasons why this is such a timely message, not just for us here, but for the body of Christ. Because people talk about, you know, man, we're getting, the end times are coming. We're in the end times right now. We're in the end times right now. And one of the things that I want you to be aware of is many believers are ignorant to the times in which we live. Don't think for one minute that what's happening in the Middle East with Hamas, with Israel, isn't impacting the world, because it is. It's impacting the church. It should have some impact on our thoughts around what's happening. And ask God to help us remain in fearless confidence that He is in charge. He's marking time. Say marking time. One example where I see God clearly recognizing not everybody that's in the group is ready. And so He can give a pass on some folk. In Judges chapter 7, and I just want to read a few verses here to help make this point. It says this, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into your hands. For Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. Now, therefore, now this is interesting, because this is what he chooses to be the process of elimination. He says, therefore, come proclaim in the hearing of the people, whoever is afraid and trembling, let them return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. God knew who was afraid. He knew, one translation says, he knew they were terrified. And God says, that's going to be the process of elimination. And then, as you know, he goes on with another process of elimination and ends up with the 300, and it's through the 300 that he delivers the Midianites into their hands. So my point with that is God is never guessing. He's never guessing. He's never wondering where you are. He knows. But he will often allow circumstances and situations to take place so that you can identify where you are. Because a lot of people talk faith, but don't really live it, don't really walk it out, don't really exercise it. And so lives are often lived in a minimal state, in a minimal place. Thank God that we're saved. Thank God that we're filled with Holy Spirit and we speak in unknown tongues. But that's the base foundation of our lives as believers. The Bible says, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. And I want to say to you that the opportunities that are presented to you and I are to step into areas that will cause us to be anxious, that will stir up something on the inside of us, that will cause us to be fearful. But you can manage that. You can deal with that. Or else the word, the Bible, the scriptures wouldn't say, fear not. I shared this in my last teaching, that when Jesus was going to Jairus' house and word came to Jairus that his daughter was dead, basically, whoever that was that came up to him was basically saying, hey, just leave Jesus alone. You missed the moment, the window of opportunity. Jesus, hearing what he said to Jairus, don't be afraid any longer. What's he talking about? He's saying, okay, I know this guy's invited me, and I know he's trying to exercise faith. He's believing in me, but he's scared. He's afraid. What's he afraid of? That we're not going to get there in time. So Jesus relates to him knowing where he is. It's the same with you and I. When you think back over your life, can you think of a few things or a few opportunities that came your way that you did not do that could have been because of fear, because of anxiety, because of just not having all the information or knowing exactly how this was going to play out? You see, Gideon had to keep managing the anxiety. He had to keep managing the fear. As a matter of fact, before there was this process of elimination, Gideon is saying, okay, if this is you, God, I'm going to put this fleece out. And if it's you, God, cause the grass to be wet and the fleece to be dry. Or was it reverse? Either way, he did it a couple times. He didn't do it just one time. It was like, okay, he woke up one morning, fleece is dry, ground's wet. Okay, can you do it again tomorrow? But now let the fleece be wet and the grass be. Now, how many know God is patient with all of us? Hear what I'm saying. Because you see, we'd like to think that we don't operate that way, but we do oftentimes. And we're saying, I need some confirming action here. But what happens if you don't get the confirmation? One of the most challenging things in exercising my faith was this property right here. It took a whole lot to keep believing when doors kept shutting. It took a whole lot to keep believing when it felt like, this is it. This is what God's doing. And then that didn't happen. And then the enemy wants to begin to talk to you and tell you how you're missing it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, so there is this place of the takeaways that Pastor Jamal talked about, of pulling down those strongholds, pulling down those thoughts that are leading to anxiety, that can lead to fear. Pulling those down. And then as information comes, you mix it with faith. As information comes, as a situation, you put some faith on it. I made this statement years ago. It's relevant. Faith is the neutralizer of fear. Faith is the neutralizer of fear and the stabilizer of the unknown. Now, I don't sit around trying to think of stuff like that. It's just the Holy Spirit speaks it to me, and I say, I'll take that. Faith is the neutralizer of fear. The Bible says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I choose to believe that there's things that God would have done, wants to do, even now for many of us, if we can just move past the fear, if we can move past the anxiety, deal with it, excuse me, do it afraid. Because that's not just a statement. What it's saying is, I'm pressing through this anxiety. I'm pressing through what seems to be a fear that wants to hold me back. Because here's the thing, and I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to make a point out of there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, we don't have a screen today. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to notice here where it says, therefore, it's a familiar passage, but we're going to look at it a little differently. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your fears, casting all your fears on him because he cares for you. That means you're going to have them. That means you're going to have anxiety. It means you're going to have fear. But what's it say? Cast it on him because he cares for you. Going back to my earlier teaching with Jehoshaphat, that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. When he realized that these nations were coming against him, he pulled everybody together and he cast all that fear, all those cares on God. See, the discipline place is that you learn that when it comes to you when it comes to you, before it starts making you feel some kind of way, you need to pass that on. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Casting all your anxiety, your fears on him because he cares for you. Then it says, be so of sober spirit and be on the alert. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him in your what? In your faith. Faith is the neutralizer of fear. It's the stabilizer of the unknown. Here, when it says your adversary, the devil, prowls around, it means he's going around and he's looking, he's searching, he's seeking. That's what it says, seeking someone to devour. What's he looking for? He's looking for fear. He's looking for anxiety. He's looking for those who are responding to an external stimuli in an internal way that causes him to be able to read those signs. That's why we would all do well to be dead men walking. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When you can walk in that kind of discipline, the enemy, hear me, the enemy can't figure you out. He can't figure us out. You must know that the enemy is watching to see how you respond to every situation. Say every situation. He's looking to see how you respond when an emergency comes up, when a health challenge comes up, when something happens relationally. He's looking to see how you respond. When you get laid off your job or you get fired. I know nobody's in here ever been fired, but he's looking because that's how he identifies where we are. That's how he's able to get in a place to cause you to become even more vulnerable. He's roaming about seeking someone, and he's looking to see how you are responding to life, how you are responding to every situation. And if, when things come up over and over, you're anxious about it, you're fearful about it, he recognizes, okay, that's one right there. They're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. But when you and I are able to live in a disciplined place in God, and that's why going back where he says, fear not, he's saying, because you can do this. So that you're not always responding out of an anxiety or, oh, I just don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You need a game face. You need a face that can't be read. Even if everything on the inside of you is going crazy. But on the external, you just like, you know, it's kind of like that commercial. Never let them see you sweat. You and I living in Christ in such a way that all the enemy can see is Christ. He can't figure you out. He can't figure me out. He can't figure us out. Now, I told you a moment ago, I said when many of us, and I was extending my faith for this property, it was one of the most challenging times. And right about that time, we planned a trip to go to SeaWorld with two of our grandbabies. And my mother-in-law, we went and we had a good time. But I don't mind telling you, I'm down there and I'm thinking, because I'm down there and I'm having to navigate through different things back here. But when I look back at it now, what I recognize is this. That's exactly where the Father wanted us to be. He wanted us to be somewhere having fun, demonstrating to the enemy. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be fearful. I told you I got this shirt, not this one, but I have a shirt from SeaWorld. It says SeaWorld on it. And when I put that shirt on, I always think about that trip. I always think about being down there and with Pastor Marisa and our two oldest granddaughters and in Mom Minifield, and we're walking around and we're seeing different things, and we're taking pictures and looking at Shamu and looking at the dolphins and all those things. We saw some ice skating, and basically, it's like saying, I'm not going to allow anxiety to set in. I'm not going to allow fear to set in. And so we still had to navigate through some things to see it come together. But God was working in it. And you see, the reason why this is important in this season is that God wants you and I to move quickly into this place of fearless confidence. Because I said this as well. You know, there's no crash course in faith, y'all. You can go to all the seminars you want to go to, but there's no crash course in this. We would all do well. See, one of the biggest challenges for those who haven't given themselves to feeding on the Word and then have a health challenge is to try to force feed or quickly feed themselves scriptures that really have no real basis for them because they've never really lived them out, gotten them on the inside of them, so that when life hits, when the attack comes, the Word is already there. Not on its way. Now, can it work? Absolutely. But here's my point. It's a greater battle. It's a greater battle when something comes up like that, a health challenge or a financial challenge, and now you want to begin to try to exercise the scriptures and quote the scriptures, but you're battling the anxiety, you're battling the fear at the same time. But you can reach a level in the Word that causes that to just be shut down the moment you hear it. You're not trying to memorize something real quick. This faith walk is a process, y'all. And you and I grow. We should be growing from every experience to the place that you are walking in fearless confidence. The challenge with the children of Israel is they didn't understand what God is walking you through. Is experiences and processes to get you to a place of trusting Him for anything, everything, anytime. But unfortunately, they kept seeing it as a one-off kind of thing. Well, we need water. Got you water. We need bread. We need food. I got you food. We need water again. Got you water. Instead of recognizing that through every time God moves in your life, every time He has moved in your life should move you to a place of trust and confidence so that when something else hits, you're not operating out of anxiety anymore. You're not like that passage of scripture we just read where it says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Because the devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking someone. He's not looking at you anymore. He's basically said, don't even mess with them because as soon as you do, they're going to cut you up with the Word. They're going to beat you up with the Word. We tried. You're so far down the road in your faith, in your trust in God, that anxiety and fear, even when it tries to show up, just gets shut down immediately. My years of walking through the health challenge built that fortitude in me. I told my doctor, whatever I do has to be out of fear, out of faith, not out of fear. Meaning this, I get this information. There is the external stimuli. Now there's the internal reaction to it. God knew that if Gideon was going to overtake Midian, He's going to have to keep working with him. So even when He says, we're going to do it with the 300, you remember the night before? Gideon wasn't like, we got this. He was still scared. He was still anxious. And what did God do? I want you to go down to their camp. And when he went down to the camp, he overheard two guys talking. And he said, man, I had this dream. And as a result of the dream, his interpretation of the dream, and I believe it's Gideon, and I believe it's the people of God. That was God's way of saying, son, I recognize you're still dealing with the anxiety. You're still dealing with the fear. So let me give you one more piece to this. And then I need you to move forward with fearless confidence. By now, many of us, should be walking in this place of fearless confidence, having acquired the skills to conquer fear. It says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished in your brethren, meaning everybody's dealing with stuff. After you have suffered a while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, now this is the process, perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Meaning, once you get through it, you should be in another place. This teaching that we're in, you know, this isn't. This is like Christianity 101. I think. Because Jesus made it clear. In Matthew 6:25, and then I'm going to close this out, and then we're just going to spend some time praying. It says, for this reason I say to you, Matthew 6:25 through 34, familiar passage again. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather the barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more, much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Then he says this, you of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So worry, anxiety, fear are not a part of the covenant. They're not a part of the package. But the responsibility of dealing with it is your responsibility and mine. Fearless confidence comes out of a level of trust in God. Trust is established over years. And if you have a track record with God, you should have a level of trust that helps you and causes you to be able to live life in fearless confidence of Him. What He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. So I want you to take a few moments right now to personally just begin to reflect and maybe think about where you're at right now. And if you're in a place where you know I'm having to really fight this anxiety, I'm having to really fight fear, then I want you to begin to identify it. I want you to begin to speak to it. What situation is there that's causing anxiety? What have you experienced over your life that's causing you to live in a place of anxiety and fear? It's time for those things to be done away with. Cast down, rooted up, however you want to term it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those that are watching by way of live stream, I trust that you're taking this same moment right now. Allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you.